Chapter 9 Happiness and Sorrow. One day my employer, Mr. Spenlow, invited me to his house, which was in a village not far from London. I was introduced to his daughter, Dora, and I fell in love with her at once. I was shocked, however, to see a familiar face at the Spenlows' house. Dora, like most young women from wealthy families, had a companion. Companions were often older women who were present when girls were in the company of men. Dora's companion was Miss Murdstone. I wondered why she was now working in this position, but I didn't ask, because I didn't want to speak to her after the way she had treated me in my childhood. Miss Murdstone spoke to me quietly, and we agreed not to mention our past to the Spenlows. Still, even this unpleasant surprise didn't ruin the day. After returning home, I could only think about when I would see Dora again. A few days later, I visited Traddles at his lodgings. We chatted about our school days, and he told me that he was engaged to be married. Traddles mentioned he had become friendly with another family in the house, and he wanted me to meet them. Imagine my surprise when their door opened and I saw Mr. and Mrs. Micawber. "I thought you were in Canterbury, Mr. Micawber," I said. "Indeed I was, but it seems they didn't need true talent there," Mr. Micawber replied. "Mr. Micawber has a variety of qualifications and great talent," Mrs. Micawber explained. "I can't understand why no one offers him a job in which he can use them." Mr. Micawber smiled, clearly enjoying his wife's praise, although I was sure he was used to it. I guessed that the Micawber's financial situation wasn't good, and when I spoke privately to Traddles, he mentioned that he had lent them money. I advised him that this was not a good idea because Mr. Micawber often borrowed money but was never able to pay it back. One evening, Steerforth appeared at my lodgings with a letter for me from Peggotty. "I'm afraid it's bad news. Barkis is dying," said Steerforth. "That's terrible," I replied. "I must go and be with Peggotty." "Copperfield, before you go, I want to say something. We've been friends for a long time. If anything should ever come between us, or if you hear bad things about me, always think of me as you once knew me." I didn't understand him at that moment. If only I had known then what I know now. I arrived at Peggotty's house, and Mr. Peggotty, Ham, and Emily were all there. Mr. Barkis was lying in bed, and he was very ill. He looked at me with a pleasant smile and said, "Barkis is willing." Then, a few minutes later, he closed his eyes and died peacefully. After the funeral, I invited Peggotty to return to London with me. She told me that Ham and Emily were planning to get married quietly within a fortnight. I went to Mr. Peggotty's house to say goodbye. When I arrived, Ham opened the door. He was very pale and had tears in his eyes. "Oh, Mr. Copperfield, it's Emily," he cried. "She's run away. What will I tell my Uncle Dan when he comes home?" He took a letter out of his pocket and gave it to me to read. It was in Emily's handwriting. "I am going away and will not return unless he marries me. I don't want you to suffer because of me. Please try to pretend I am dead and buried somewhere. Ham, find yourself a good girl and marry her. Tell Uncle that I have always loved him and I always will. God bless you all. I will pray for you." At that moment, Mr. Peggotty arrived. He sensed immediately that something was wrong. He took the letter from Ham and read it slowly. Then he let out a cry. "Who is the man?" he shouted. "Who is it?" He was trembling with pain and anger. "Please go away, David. You shouldn't hear this," Ham urged.
"I want to know his name,"
growled Mr. Peggotty. Ham continued. There's a gentleman who was here recently. Please leave, Mr. David. I couldn't move. I already knew what he was going to say.
His name is Steerforth,
Ham said at last. Mr. Peggotty put on his coat.
I'm going to look for her and bring her back, he declared,
and he went out into the night. I couldn't understand why Steerforth had done this. How could he bring so much sadness to people who were supposed to be his friends? Mr. Peggotty didn't find Emily that night, but said that he would continue looking for her. He and Peggotty returned to London with me to look for Emily there. We went to Steerforth's house, but Steerforth's mother, who received us coldly, didn't know where her son and Emily were. She was very angry that her son had run away with Emily, because she believed Emily was from a lower class.